start the record?
For the record, this
Can you start the recording, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
For the record, this is the Registrar's Stakeholder Group, scheduled from 1530 to 1600 local time.
Right, guys, we're starting up again, and in an unexpected addition to our timetable, Adrian Kanderas is going to be talking to us briefly, Adrian, about the Domain Name Association.
Thank you, Precious. I appreciate accommodating me on such short notice. My name is Adrian Kanderas, for those that don't know me. And God bless you for those that don't. I'm speaking here today in my capacity as the chair of the interim board of the Domain Name Association. I'll get to what that means in a second. We are doing some outreach at the moment to just provide a status as to where we're at with respect to the coming together of this association. And we're speaking to all the stakeholder groups, the GAC, CCNSO, so on and so forth. We have a formal session tomorrow, Jeff, at 5 o'clock. Can you just
yes,
confirm?
Yes, I believe it's 5 p.m.
5 o'clock. It's in the schedule as the CEO Roundtable and Domain Name Association Forum. So we'll be doing this exact slide deck then, but hopefully to a wider audience. So if there's any questions, I know you're pushed for time now, but if we can't get to them now, by all means, come along tomorrow afternoon. Okay, so very quickly, I won't even go on the agenda. Guys, you'll see this tomorrow, and I know it's tough to see. This is some of the work we did with Fadi's CEO Roundtable Group. So this is a mapping of the domain name industry. And we use this, and I use this in the slide deck, because it helps us isolate who are the players within the industry and therefore those that are eligible to be part of the Domain Name Association. So you'll see the outer layer there is the internet coordination layer. The oval in the middle is the ICT sector, and then a subset of that is the domain name industry, comprised of registry operators, registrars, registry service providers, and resellers. So the value chain, if you like, of the domain name industry, and it's those folks in particular that we're focused on here in our outreach. So the Domain Name Association itself, what is our mission? Well, we're a non-profit global business association that represents the interests of the domain name industry. Importantly, we have no formal affiliation with ICANN. So whilst ICANN has been briefed about what we're doing, we don't answer to them. We're not funded by them. And in fact, there'll be times when we may well not be aligned with them as an industry. We may want to push back on things they're doing and have a voice. So that's an important distinction. As I said earlier, it's the members of the association are groups, businesses, and individuals involved in the provision, support, and sale of domain names. This includes organisations, as I said earlier, registries, registrars, resellers, and indeed service providers. So what is our mission? Very simply, folks, to promote the interests of the domain name industry by advocating the use, adoption, and expansion of domain names as the primary tool for users to navigate the internet. So what does that mean? We're helicoptering out here, guys. We sort of get caught in the minutiae of our day-to-days, getting new GTLDs off the ground, so on and so forth. But what if domain names go away? There are some, you know, it's a very competitive environment. Whilst they've been the fundamental way we navigate the internet for a long time, as an industry, we need to make sure that, that remains so. And so what we're doing is reaching out to all of you to join us to ensure that that your businesses are able to be sustained, and that the core asset that drives this, being the domain names, are able to be leveraged in the best way possible. So the Domain Name Association aims to play a key role in helping consumers, business, public and benefit organisations to understand the benefits and take advantage of this internet. So one of our first core missions will be, of course, to promote the new GTLD, new GTLDs that are out there, in order to help avoid confusion in the market. So I'll talk a little bit more about that later. I'll try and skip through these just in the interest of time, understanding there'll be a session tomorrow. Probably the second bullet point there, the internet of the DNA is to build trust, exchange ideas, educate and raise awareness of domain name related issues. Exactly what I was talking about before, bringing voice to the industry. It is our intention that should the media want to get an opinion, that they'll come to the Domain Name Association for that opinion and ensure that not only its members but the industry as a whole is well represented. We will have all, especially as registrars, we get tarred with the bad actors. This is a way that the industry can come out with a voice that will cut through, hopefully, and stop the splintering of voices that the press currently utilise. Okay, so basically, you would all know, or maybe you don't, but Google, some of the guys at Google sort of got this, put some momentum into this, if you like, pushed that first bit of the snowball, and since then there's been a number of folks that have come forward, rolled up their sleeves and got the business of getting this, getting some mobilised. Some of those are with me now in this room. Jeff Eckhouse, who you all know. Rob Hall is not here, but Rob, of course, you know. Staten Hammock from United TLD. Okay, sure. Joe Lawrence from Google. Johnny Nevitt from Donuts. And Elizabeth Sweezy. I don't know if any of those guys joined me today. But they're the initial members of the board. And then for my sins, they got together and voted me as the chair, probably more so because of my accent, in order to try to generate some diversity, more so than my management prowess. All right, so what's the current status of this board? So we are now officially incorporated as a Delaware non-profit organisation. Let me talk about that for one second. It is my goal as the interim chair to try and be as inclusive as possible here to ensure that this is a global representation of the industry. Clearly, I'm Australian. I would like to see that our members come from all aspects of the community. And anyone that has known me for any time, I do push back on the North American focus here. However, it was important, given the resources we had on hand to try to keep costs down, that we went and we played to our strengths here. And so Delaware and United States was an option. Secondly, when we come to membership fees, you would all know that the most likely members, and you've already seen the folks that have shown interest from the interim board, if they're going to write checks, there are some advantages if those checks are written to a United States non-profit. There are some tax advantages, so on and so forth. So the low-hanging fruit for us were these corporations that were going to come and put some money into the Domain Name Association. So it made sense to point to Delaware. I just want to get out in front of that because it has been, when I've presented this deck, it has been a point of contention. How are you going to be a global organisation if you're just repeating the sins of the past by setting up in North America? But our actions will show that doesn't matter where we're set up, that we do represent the global industry. So the charter initial bylaws have been adopted. Membership structure is currently in development. Dovetailing out of that is of course, the budget that's required. So we'll need to understand how much money we're going to have in order to get the membership structure right and, of course, the dues structure right. And we're currently doing a membership drive, hence why I'm talking to you today. We've developed an education and awareness website. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. And we've got our own DNA website. You'll see down the bottom, thedna.org. It's currently operational. It basically provides the same information as I'm presenting to you today. We'll look to build that out as time goes on. And we got a logo done, which was, as all good companies do, straight out of the gate, waste all their efforts and bandwidth designing logos. So we actually crowdsourced that, and I forget who the actual winner was from the industry, but someone came forward and donated that logo, which I think is pretty cool. And by the way, that the A, that's not an arrow, it's a cursor, okay? Just wiki cursor for me, just so you know what I mean. I'm going to move along. All right, very quickly, guys. So what are some of the benefits? I won't go through too many of these right now. As I say, I'll go through them in the session. In fact, you know what, it's probably, as I appreciate your time, I'll speed through. Effectively, guys, you know, in summary, really it's about having a voice. But we do want to provide more than that. We want to make sure that you're able to share with peers, with other registrars, in your case, across CCs. So these will be people that are involved in the provision of domain names. So it's not about ICANN accreditation, guys. This is about understanding the industry and being able to share your experiences and grow the industry collectively. And it's pretty ambitious. This hasn't been done before, or if it has, it hasn't been done effectively, certainly not in my 12 years of being in this industry. So if we can pull this off, I think it'll benefit all of us. Alrighty, the educational website I was banging on about before. Don't go to whatdomain.org. It is not live yet. However, when it is live, we're looking to have it in 6 different languages. Also, I should say our website will be in 6 different languages. Ours being thedna.org will be in 6 different languages as quickly as we possibly can. We sort of scrambled to get something together for Durban, following that international theme. So this website uses a little bit more layman's terminology in order to get people to understand what domain names are, what they do, what the different flavours are, so on and so forth. So I think this will be a great utility, even in your businesses, to point someone to an agnostic resource that will help explain a little bit about what we do. By all means, we'd love to have you take a look, and if there's any feedback on any of the stuff we do, we'd be happy to hear it. Thanks. So just to finish off, Michaeli, we're going to finalise our budget as far as next steps. Let's get this membership structure sorted and then open for business and look to get as clearly as many folks signed up. The more members we have, the more impactful we can be. We're going to transition to a formal board, which will no doubt see me eradicated. We will do start our awareness and education campaign, leveraging that website that you just saw. We'll do a launch and continue our membership drive and, of course, launch that educational website. And that is it. And should time permit, if there was any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, I'm happy to see you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Adrian. Does anybody have any quick questions? No? Okay. Volker.
Just a question on the international aspect. It seems to me from what I've seen that this still focuses very much on the ICANN communities of registrars and registries, at least from the memberships that I've seen. Is there any interest in or efforts to incorporate the CCDLD zones?
Yeah, so certainly I have run this by them, and in fact my very next presentation is to the CCNSO. It's really just that the heavy lifting was done by... You know, if you have a look at that list, we're a group of mates, right? So we had to start somewhere. So, and I'm very thankful. We would welcome any other contributors who want to come along. And, in fact, that interim board can be adjusted at any time. I do get the point. We had to start somewhere, and unfortunately that point was a very small group. But while I'm looking and I'm working my backside off to make sure that we're as international as possible, as quickly as possible.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to add on one point, because I know some of you look at the interim board and you say, oh, that seems like a small group again, North American focus. But remember, this is just interim, and at the end of the day, the actual board is voted on and elected by the members. So the only way to have a say in who the board is and that direction is to become a member. So I just want to make that clear. Like, all of us on the interim board will step down once the membership is officially set up and we have that structure. So... And the other point I wanted to make is exactly what you said about looking at it as registrars, but for people like myself and others that have reseller models and other pieces, talk to your resellers as well, because they can get involved here, because this is all about promoting the industry and having a voice, because as Adrian has mentioned, you know, we look at things like, you know, for example, the ANA. They've come through with a strong voice and what they want, and they're able to get ahead. And we don't have somebody that can go on TV, for example, or can go to the press and say, here's what some, you know, the advantages of the domain name industry. It's been different people with their own aspect, with their own things that they care about versus taking care of the whole industry. So I think it's very important to think about it that way and not just to say, oh, this is just going to promote certain registries and registrars. This is going to protect our whole industry, which I don't think, as Adrian has mentioned, we do not have that and desperately need it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks very much for your time, guys. Appreciate it.
Right. Next we should have...
Jonathan Robinson.
Or somebody from IBM. And moment. Obviously, we don't. Okay, whilst we're waiting for them to turn up, James, you wanted to talk a bit about money.
Sure, thanks, McKelly. Thanks. So just a brief update as we prepare for the next round of budgeting. I ran some preliminary numbers, and I can post these to the list by the end of the day, but I just wanted to make this group aware that the previous couple of years in negotiating the RAA, we had retained Becky Burr, who was a member of the negotiating team, and her firm probably put in about three times as much work as we paid her for, but nevertheless, that was the lion's share of our budget, and pretty much everyone's dues went to paying our advocate to represent us with ICANN during those negotiations. Obviously, that's all behind us now, and we don't have the need for that. And so just taking a look at some preliminary numbers for next cycle, if we maintain our membership at 72 to 76 members and we maintain the dues at $500, we're going to have a very significant surplus, in both on cash on hand and projected proceeds. So my question to this group, and I'll put that in with the budget. I know that we have some plans for an advocate that we're working out, and I know that we can always use some administrative support. But it seems as though there is an opportunity for this group to, kind of along the lines of what the DNA was saying here, is that we could be doing more. We're collecting dollars, and they are sitting there not being put to work to advance our interests or to spread our message throughout the ICANN ecosystem. So, we were kind of kicking around some ideas, and I had one, and I think, Matt, I want to pick on you a little bit because I think you had a good idea as well. So my thought was, yeah, I had to remind Matt of his idea. So my thought was that I'm often asked, why aren't you GoDaddy at IGF? And the answer is no one has been able to help me make a very specific case in one sentence what the value of attending IGF is. It's very difficult to make that justification on an individual business level, and unless IGF is coming to your backyard, it's very expensive to go and attend that meeting. It's a long meeting and things like that. But I will tell you that the other groups that have interests that maybe don't align with ours are at IGF, and they are advancing those agendas. So there is an absence of industry voice at those things. So one possible use of the proceeds from this particular group is to nominate, elect, select, choose, draft someone to go to IGF and then help out that particular person with some travel allowance so that their own organization doesn't feel like they're bearing the brunt of that expense. So that was one idea. And Matt, did you want to talk about yours? Because I thought you had a good idea as well.
Yeah, now that I actually remembered what the hell it was. Sorry, this is Matt Serlin. So the idea that I had actually was similar to the ICANN Fellowship Program. And essentially it's allowing for a member of the stakeholder group that generally doesn't have the possibility to travel to ICANN meetings to apply for travel funds that we would, that the XCOM would review and make a determination. Maybe we do it for one meeting a year to start or something. We've talked a lot about participation and outreach in the past couple years in this group, and I think that would be a really good way to get new people at the table that that haven't historically been attending ICANN meetings. So that was my idea on how to spend your money.
See, I think that's a great idea, given the outreach things and the lecture we've just given Cyrus here on two separate occasions now, most recently in front of his boss and his board.
James, was one other suggestion that came up on our backroom chat as well today. It's a silly little suggestion, but it's one that we need to table, was that we could use some of the dues to cover even a sandwich for ourselves when we actually are at these actual meetings, rather than relying on a third party, which may end up having other consequences.
Yeah, I agree, and it's kind of, Mr. Eckhouse here likes to tease me a little bit about bringing up lunch as an issue, but I will say that it's not about having a box lunch or a sandwich in your belly. It's about keeping everybody in the room. We only meet 3 times a year, and if we break for lunch and everybody scatters, especially in places, this one's not so bad, but some venues we have to go and traipse off into town and come back, and then we're 2 hours removed from our agenda. So I think that's a third option. So what I would like to do, and I know this is something we're off the page now from the agenda, so I won't take up any more of the group's time. What I would like to do is put that preliminary budget out to the list. This is not a votable budget at all. This is just a trial run. Get folks looking at that, and I will also encapsulate these three ideas as, and we will open the floor for additional suggestions of ideas or programs or things that we can do. I don't want to say that the sky's the limit. I mean, obviously, we want to hold back a reasonable and prudent reserve of cash, but it does not make sense, and this is going to sound really weird for us because we're all business people, but it does not make sense for this group to be sitting on a pile of cash. That's money that people have contributed to see this group advance our interests, and if it's sitting in a bank, it's not being put to use. So I think we can find ways to engage those funds to our advantage, and I will put that out on the list. So thanks for your time.
Thanks, James. Anybody have any other thoughts or input on this? Is there anybody on the remote? Volker?
No, just a question to James. I think these are all very good ideas, but I don't think we would be able to do all three with the current budget or the current surplus, right?
I'm sorry, I was speaking with Mike. I totally missed your question, Volker. Repeat it, please.
I think I'm not sure how big the surplus is, but I don't think we would be able to do all three initiatives with the current surplus, right?
It depends. I think you could add all three of them up and still not approach what we've been spending on advocates the last 2 years. So, I mean, it really depends on how big we want to go on these programs. I mean, if we wanted to throw somebody a couple $1,000s to help with an airplane ticket to an ICANN meeting, I think we could do that and not miss it. If we felt that was a valuable use for those dollars. I don't know what lunches cost. I'm sure it depends on what city we're in.
We have to ask Adrian for that.
Yeah. But I think where we're going is that, you know, it's counterintuitive for us as business people to not want to see that number get bigger and bigger and bigger. But, you know, we're at a point now where we have to think like an association, and every dollar that's left in that account and rolled over to the next year is something that we didn't do, that we should have done. So
I fully agree.
We may be able to do all three. Is your
just answer? Just one thing to bear in mind. I, for one, was very happy with the assistance we got from Becky Burr. And we wouldn't have been able to afford that if we hadn't had some money sitting in the bank. So we should also look at building a certain surplus for unforeseen circumstances where we need an extra expense. So
exactly,
we might as well. We might even look at increasing our dues just to be able to do these efforts and still have a certain surplus, so we have money in the bank if we ever need it.
So my proposal was, and you're absolutely correct, I will say that we did pay Becky out of the entirety of last year's dues. So we ended the year exactly essentially where we started the year as far as cash on hand. But I think that is a good point. We do need to establish a baseline minimum of what we would call a contingency fund. But once we start getting, you know, well above that, many multiples above that, then we have to start thinking like, I don't think people, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself, I don't want to speak for the membership here, but I don't think it's a question of whether the dues are $500 or $750. I don't think that's a huge issue. We all spent more than that getting here. You know, the other stakeholder groups have $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 dues. You know, it's not a matter of whether it's $500 or $750. I think what we need to do is make sure that people understand what they're getting for their dues and what the value of membership and the value of the contribution is clear.
Jennifer?
I just wanted to echo Volker's point, too. I think we should not only look at the surplus but and how we spend it, but the amount of dues that we're collecting on an annual basis.
I'm sorry, I didn't. The what dues that we're collecting?
Sorry, the amount of dues that we're collecting on an annual basis.
So you think that the amount is too high?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we should revisit the amount and see if we need to increase that amount.
Okay. Yeah, and I think all of those things should be on the table. I'm glad that we're teeing up this discussion, because I think that, you know, we didn't have an agenda item, but I think that we want to get this topic rolling on the mailing list. And I think that there are lots of things we can do. There are a lot of constituencies out here that are very active. We can certainly steal some of their ideas and start to fund them. I know we always complain that other folks are well-organized and well-funded, and it's like, well, let's get organized. Let's get funded.
You know? Just one other thing, James. Could you speak very quickly to the situation with respect to the bank accounts and those little things?
Right. So I didn't want to jump too far out ahead, but we have decided to consolidate all of our banking away from ICANN and to, help me with the pronunciation, IOLTA or attorney-managed account through Mr. Berryhill's firm. Once that's done, and I believe we have an account ready to receive those funds, that transfer, we have a couple of outstanding payments and one outstanding deposit that we're waiting for. And then we also want to establish kind of a more formal arrangement where John makes an arrangement, not with me, James Bladel, but me, the treasurer, and then that anyone who succeeds me in this position will have, you know, an equivalent relationship along with the chair. But then we want to tie this to a new PayPal account and start to move towards an electronic-based payment and invoicing system. So that, I mean, you know, we're supposed to be internet companies here. The fact that we're sending out paper invoices and getting paid in checks just seems a little quaint. And so we're trying to move that to a more modern system. And these are things that we would not be able to do if we maintain the ICANN account or the ICANN managed account. And furthermore, and I'll just point out that just as we were all getting on the plane, we got an invoice from the firm that handles our voting system. And since I wasn't able to catch the ICANN accounts payable folks before we left, now those folks are going to have to be paid out of somebody's pocket, and then we'll have to reimburse through that. So it's just, it's a mess. And the sooner we get out of that situation and into our own self-managed account, I think the better. So the answer, Michele, is hopefully by the end of July we'll have that resolved.
Okay, thanks. Anything else on this topic before we move on to... Well, actually, we don't move on to anything. They're meant to come to join us, aren't they?
Yes.
Oh, Matt. Oh, hello, Matt.
Hi. I've moved up on you. Sorry. One thing I was going to remind us all of is that in the past several years, we have not availed ourselves of the opportunity to apply for ICANN funds. So every year ICANN does the budget. The SGs have an opportunity to submit requests for funds to be appropriated for things like specific travel support and administrative support. Historically, we have not done that for a variety of different reasons, but I would just point out that that still is another avenue that's available to us. You guys should just keep that in mind and revisit at the right time.
Thank you, Matt. Okay. So it looks like the registries are running slightly behind schedule, and there's a bit of a discussion going on in the Adobe chat with respect to membership as well, not just the fees, but the number of members. And Bob Connolly asked a very simple and straightforward and obvious question. You know, are we happy with 72 members? mean, shouldn't it be 250 or possibly more? What are you? Would you like me to repeat it for you slowly? Okay. Whether we were happy with the current number of members or whether we should have more members. Just to give you an update on that, I mean, we have had a number of new members join over the last few months, and even today we've had expressions of interest from two companies. Personally, I've been trying to encourage companies to join, and I hope the rest of you can do the same. So, you know, that's my statement and thoughts on that. I don't know if anybody has any input or thoughts or suggestions or ideas or whatever. Volker.
Well, personally, I agree that with the idea that every registrar that has some skin in the game should become a member of the stakeholder group. But we should also not forget that a lot of registrars that are there in the books of ICANN are not really independent registrars, but are group members of other registrars. So while we have 72 members here, they may represent more than 50% of the registrars that are out there.
Yeah, but even considering that, Volker, there's about 250 separate ones. Or it might be over 300. I mean, it's much more than 72 anyway.
You just want to defend the big room against the registries.
Right. I think I get that. Matt, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should always be looking to grow our member base, but I also always think that we ought to be looking for better participation from the members that are here. Sorry, don't mean to call any of you out specifically, but that's the reality of it. I mean, I will say we have expanded. You know, there have been a growing number of people that get involved. Seriously? That have gotten involved over the past couple of years, and that's good. But I would still say, I'll use a sports analogy. Our bench strength is kind of weak, meaning, you know, we need a larger number of people that are willing to get involved in things.
So how do we address that, Matt? Apart from
I don't know. Everyone that's sitting around the table, why do you guys come here for a full day meeting on Tuesday? For those of you that don't regularly contribute. See, I'm not chair now, so I can just call you all out.
Exactly, and I'm enjoying
it. Was that why? Yeah, thanks, Michele. It's good.
I can't say that.
No, you cannot. They're coming for us. Okay, well, James. Yeah, James.
That's an excellent question. And I'm not trying to be provocative. I think it will help us understand what these programs need to be and what sort of activities we need to dedicate funding for if we know what people are getting out of their membership here, and more importantly, what they're not getting out of their membership here. Now, if they raise their hand and say, ICANN meetings are boring, well, yeah. Nobody likes these meetings. I don't think anybody looks forward to them, but I think that, you know, we recognize they're a necessary evil to what we're trying to accomplish. So what should we be trying to accomplish?
Well, James, now that you... Oh, yeah, Kelly, go ahead.
I'm Kelly Salter. I'm still fairly new to ICANN, and I will admit it was daunting first coming here, but I think today I spoke at more than any previous meeting. I do think it takes time when you first join ICANN to get used to how it works, the processes. Obviously, everyone seems to know a lot more than you do, so, you know, it's not that people don't want to get involved. I think people will get involved at a certain stage, and maybe if we can dip our toe into some of the expert working groups rather than commit to a full group, I think maybe that might be a way to ease newcomers into
it. We had funding for different initiatives where people could lower that learning curve, lower those barriers to participation, and get, because I mean, I will tell you, when you say everybody knows more than you, no, everybody pretends to know more than you, and they're very good at shoveling BS better than the newcomers. That's all. I think the newcomers actually have, because they haven't been corrupted yet, they have. They're the people we should actually be listening to at these meetings. But so what I'm thinking is, what if we had some way of if we could tie a surplus of dollars to an initiative that would get more, not just more members, but more participating members to help them overcome those initial barriers. Am I hearing you correctly? If that would be a worthwhile?
Yeah, or like taster sessions, you know, instead of like an entire, come to the first few meetings, see how it fits, you know what I mean?
Sorry, am I jumping? Am I queue jumping? I'm just talking.
You are queue jumping a little bit, but we'll allow you as your...
is that my... Oh, sweet. I didn't know that was part of that. I just thought I had to buy you all lunch. Oh, I didn't do that. Sorry. Would it help, do you think, if... You know, we talked about this. I don't know what meeting it was, but, you know, the structure of the meeting has been the same since, like, 1978, which is, in some respects, good, but I think in others, bad. You know, what if we did more like a working workshop, you know, on a half a day, either a half a day on Tuesday or we act kind of similar to what we're talking about doing with the RIA, and we kind of, especially for newcomers, I think would be really valuable, where, you know, it was not a room meant for giants, first of all, and it was more intimate, and, you know, it could be kind of more interactive. Is that something you guys think would be...
Yeah. Useful? Yeah, like new policy changes where you can just go through it point by point and discuss it, you know, explain which, because we'll all still have different interpretations of ERRP and it's about to launch. But yeah, so point by point, I think that for new registrars coming in will be really beneficial. So.
Okay, I've got Bob. Jen's going to be doing Desiree and then Jeff.
Yes, so Bob Wygant from web.com. I would agree with those comments. I think it can be a little intimidating when you first come here. It's just the perception that the current leadership is so knowledgeable, maybe you feel you're not as knowledgeable and you just don't want to stick your neck out there and then have people say, oh, well, you don't understand how the, you know, working group was put together, or the PDP was put together, or the logic behind why this policy was created. So there's that time element to get up to speed. That's one thing. The other thought is that if you do pay for somebody to, you know, get an air ticket to an ICANN conference, is give them a mentor or somebody that would, you know, shadow them or help them, and you could, you know, kind of buddy up so that they could maybe go with you to sessions, see how you interact, how you engage. You know, give them the training wheels so that then you guys can maybe step to the side a little bit and let those other people participate in a broader basis.
Okay, so the remote question?
The question was related to outreach. Desiree has the question, but I actually was thinking the same thing along the same lines, as perhaps we should... organize suggestions around how we can outreach out to new registrars, not only from a buddy perspective, but as they're coming on board, develop a working group, a recruiting group, whatever is required to get them to participate for future meetings, remote or physically located here.
Mr. Eckers.
Well, Bob sort of stole my... idea there, but you know, just I think it's a great idea about having, say, either a mentor or somebody involved in it. And I'll just give you, just back when I started coming to the meetings and working in the industry, that's how I came along. John Nevitt had said, hey, why don't you come along on this working group, and basically sat there, you know, for like a mute, you know, during the sessions that were there, and then on the mailing list just read the emails, didn't really respond too much. But you know, that's definitely a great way to start, and then is going through that and just joining up a group. I mean, you don't feel like you have to actively participate in them, because if you're a newcomer and you're like, hey, I want to just get my feet wet, it's a good way to start, and there's no obligations besides maybe reading a lot of emails. But besides that, it definitely works, and I think, I don't know if we could formalize that, but I think, I mean, it would probably be on the list that when people join, say, I'll be on this working group, and say it is somebody who has more experience, that people, I'd say, send them a note and say, hey, I'm thinking about joining, and just so you know, and then they could sort of work together on it, because I think it's definitely a great way to start. And I think for a lot of us, we have our own points of view that were sort of baked in, and for some people here, it's, as somebody else mentioned, that newcomers definitely have a different point of view, and a lot of it's probably good because some of us are probably cynical and jaded. So I think it would definitely be helpful, and I would definitely be a part of that. And I don't know if anybody wants me to be their mentor, but I'm happy to help along with that process.
So thank you for volunteering, Jeff, and Matt as well. I assume that by broaching the subject, you're volunteering, so I'll thank you for that. Mr. Anderson.
Hello. I actually think, back to James's point, we meet three times a year. Wouldn't it be better to maybe set up a monthly interactive call? I think that the email list is intimidating for new people, definitely. And sometimes it's a waste of time. I don't want to see plus one anymore. It's just
plus one to that.
So, I think we can, it's within our gift to make this more inclusive for people by having education sessions and spending, an hour doing a webinar or something where people that are in those working groups can give an update rather than trying to go through those email lists. So I think there's stuff that we can do, and actually that may make membership slightly more appealing for others.
Shh, it's the registries.
Okay, Yoav, and is there anybody else? Oh, Monsieur Villeneuve.
Yeah, I actually also really like the idea of that Bob and I, Jeff, I think we could actually formalize it. I would say that why not have all the XCOM, be available for newcomers to I don't know if you call it mentor or just help in especially when we meet physically during the meetings. You're a newcomer, and then you'll couple with any of the XCOM that you like, and that's it. And then you can go around with them, and they can help you and give you some of their thoughts. I think it's a really good idea, and I'll volunteer right away. So if anyone wants, we have not too much for the end of the week, I'll be happy to help.
Thank you, Yoav. Hi. Mr. Villeneuve.
I feel like being someone who's been to a number of these meetings, now I'm starting to cross over from beginner to intermediate. So I can come from that perspective. I still feel rather intimidated addressing the entire room on some of these policies, thinking if I'm going to get the acronyms right, the names right, everything right. So certainly the idea on a smaller group sessions are different things that could allow us to react and overcome that intimidation. I have no problem addressing a small group on any of these topics, but it's a little different addressing the whole group. And to that effect, with those of you that are so involved, it feels like the debate is sometimes already happened. Like we're entering in at a point where I'm not necessarily intimidated by the topic, but I feel like the point I'm going to bring up was from maybe 3 or 6 months ago or on the mailing list already debated. So trying to keep up and be at that particular moment in the debate can be a little difficult. You guys asked what we get out of it if we sit here and be kind of quiet. What I get out of this is a lot of stuff that I can take back to my organization. It's extremely informative to me to have the different groups talk about the different issues. I sit here, gather my notes, and I take them right back. It's still valuable, even if we're not, opening up the lines of communication in reverse.
Okay, thank you. The registries have now made it over, so I'm going to close off this discussion for now, but I would encourage you all to please, follow this up on the main members list, or if you prefer, just to ping me or one of the other members of the XCOM. Rather than keep on talking about this, I think we're going to sit down and see if we can actually come up with a few specific action points and actually, follow through on them. And not give you fuzzy timelines and things like that. Thanks. So I believe Mr. Drazek is going to come and join me now.